Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. Now Dave, I think we need to focus on that bounce that we saw yesterday in the precious metals. Gold, silver, both moved higher, and even more importantly, I think the stocks also moved higher. We had GDX, GDXJ for pretty much, well, three quarters, if not longer of the day, all up around 3.5%. So a strong move for the stocks. And one thing to consider too is that this move really is helping to take the stocks out of that breakdown level that they were in. They had broken down, but it lasted a very short period of time. And now they're back at least within that trading range. And who knows, could even be breaking a couple of these pretty steeply sloping downtrend lines. Dave, does the recent action in either the metals prices or the stocks change your outlook at all, at least in the near term, for the potential of a run much higher?
Well, yeah, sure, Corey. It had, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, when I mentioned that when we had that surprise surge on the very last day of the quarter, and then the miners started to lead from there. So the mining sector has been predicting what's happening today in the gold sector. You know, the GDXJ is up nine of the last 10 sessions, and it's now short-term overbought. So, you know, if you take a look at what happened this morning, it was really interesting. You know, I get up about 5:30, and the CPI report is issued an hour before the market opens. And the gold price ran up about $18 into the report, the announcement, and then once it was announced, you know, these computer algorithm trades, they're set to sell gold if there's a small uptick in inflation, because that enhances taper, you know, the Fed tapering in November, which is a couple weeks away now, the next FOMC meeting. But then once they went over it and saw that, hey, you know, if food's going up, energy's going up, you know, it's the travel component there that had held it down a little more. And hey, it looks like stagflationary concerns are coming in here. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. So the gold price turned right back around and then went up over $30. So it's really interesting how this is playing out here. You know, going into this, as I said, you know, the gold price going up so much on the last day of the quarter, ever since then, gold's been trading in a really tight range between 1750 and 1780. Each time it's gotten near 1750, you've seen strong buying coming in. A couple times it got close to 1780, you saw selling come in. But today, that 1780 level was breached, and now we're knocking on the door of 1800 after an inflationary CPI, and now we got a PPI coming out tomorrow. So if we see some follow through tomorrow, that's going to be really encouraging.
Well, Dave, it's interesting to note, when we talked last week, we had mentioned that there had been 4 days in a row of the miners kind of outperforming the pullback in the general markets. We had talked about that quarterly close, how it rebounded the very last minute to save its own neck from certain decline. But at this point, a lot of precious metals investors still feel like they've been tricked over and over again every time they get excited about a rally, only for it to disappoint. So there's a lot of people looking at this recent move as simply a relief rally, and they're worried about another leg down. What level would you have to see it get above on resistance for gold or on the GDX or GDXJ for you to get more excited that maybe we have a more sustained leg in place?
Well, as I said, there's pretty strong resistance there at 44, and we're about a dollar away from that now as we speak. If we got a weekly close above 47, I'd be a lot more convinced that we saw that we saw the low at the end of September. That would be pretty convincing. And on a bullish note, today's action created bullish island reversals on the daily charts of both the GDX and the GDXJ, and the volume's pretty good. So I mean, you know, a lot of that tax loss, indiscriminate tax loss selling, I think is gone by the wayside in a lot of these issues. And there was just no more sellers down there at the end of September. So all the bullish statistics that I mentioned last week that I was so excited about the commitment of traders report being so bullish, the most bullish over the past year. You know, everybody being on the bearish side of the boat. You know, these analysts were expecting gold to at least come down to test 1675. The sentiment was really, really bad. The BPGDM had gone below 20%, and this move thus far has gotten that back up to 23%, and it's going in the right direction. So, absolutely, you got to be cautious here, and I wouldn't be backing up the truck here. But I did deploy more capital last week, and I'll probably deploy a little more. With this weakness, I'm expecting to come in here after such a strong move in such a short period of time.
So what's really been encouraging about some of the stock moves too, especially yesterday, is that we were seeing a wide range of the stocks start to move higher. And I would argue led a lot by some of the higher quality exploration companies and some of the producers as well. So we are seeing, I think, some of that smart money come into the sector as well as filter down into some of these juniors, but it definitely wasn't a everything moving higher still. And that's just the environment that we're in. Dave, what stocks are you focused on then in terms of which ones you think would recover the fastest, if you do need to be sticking to the higher quality ones, and what the balance would be between producers, whether large scale, small scale, or development companies or exploration companies?
Well, since I'm a longer-term investor in this sector, I understand that these majors, these royalty companies, and these mid-tiers, you know, they always move first. But that is, once you see the strong moves in these larger issues, these larger companies, that's when you really take a look at you go down the food chain at the companies that have yet to move. You understand that. Just because they haven't moved yet doesn't mean they're not going to. It's these larger companies that always start the move higher first. Once you have a bottom like I think we're creating here, you know, if it's a V bottom like we had last March of 2020, you know, you don't have a lot of time to get into these things if you have a lot of money on the sideline, because everything was bouncing at the same time. So now you have a lot of time to come into the developer explorers. You asked me what I was concentrating on. The developer explorers that are de-risking higher margin projects in a safe jurisdiction. And you know, if you want to go farther on down the food chain and you got more patience, then you go for the higher risk drill plays that maybe they've already made a discovery, or you think they're about to. If they got a drill program that they got some really nice targets, you know, you might start scaling into those. But you got to understand that you have to have more patience. You know, a lot of people get frustrated if they get into these things early, you know, after a major bottom has occurred or is in the process of forming, they lose patience and they give up. And then only to look back, you know, 3, 4, 5 months later and went, oh, geez, look at that stock. It went up 10 times and I gave up on it. You know, I mean, that's just the way this sector works. Like you said, the smart money, and especially the retail money. If you got retail money coming back into the sector, which I think we are seeing that. I think we're seeing, as we discussed previously, I think we're seeing retail investors rotating tech stock profits into the mining space. You know, those people are going to be going for the majors. Those people are going to be going for the royalty companies and maybe some mid tiers. And so you just have to be patient. And this is a great time to collect these higher risk juniors that are cashed up. They got a lot of money. They got big drill programs going. They got serially successful management. They're in a great jurisdiction. They got a district scale size project. Those are the ones that you want to get into and realize that you not to get frustrated when you see this sector start to go up a lot and maybe it hasn't moved yet. They will. I mean, the money will shift down the food chain to the higher risk juniors eventually.
Well, Dave, just on that topic, and on the topic of where investors will move into first, it's earnings season. A lot of the producers are putting out still pretty encouraging mm-hmm. results as far as their cash flows and revenues. I've noticed a lot of the mid-tiers are really pretty cashed up now. And while I don't expect as many of the majors to maybe start picking off the juniors because they've had all these mergers of equals and their plates are full with assets they bought in the last cycle they could bring on, there's a lot of mid-tier producers and even some of the smaller producers that are making cash. When you're investing in the developers or the explorers, are you doing it with the mindset of seeing them get taken over by one of these larger producers? Or are you doing it for the optionality of the rising prices and you're hoping they don't get taken over when you're approaching your investments in the development stage companies in particular?
Well, Chad, my mindset before I purchase any junior is I have to see at least 3x potential within the next 12 to 18 months or I'm not going to buy it. This is a high risk, high reward sector. And if I'm going to take on that kind of risk, I want to be rewarded and I want my subscribers to be rewarded as well. So, on that note, I've got a small basket of developer explorers that I think are near term takeover candidates. Some of them have already gone up a lot from where I purchased them a while ago. And some of them, I've got on a watch list that I think have corrected quite a bit and are at good value here and do have that possibility of going up 3x within the next, 12 to 18 months. So, I mean, that's a really good area to focus on right now, I think, because if this Kirkland Ignigo Eagle merger does get the M&A juices flowing again, and we have another little wave, I think that's what investors are going to be looking at. Companies that are near term takeover candidates, and by near term I mean they're either in the construction phase, they're in the finance stage, or they just put out a feasibility study and they're looking to finance, or they're just about to put out a feasibility, and they've got most of the permits in place.
So then I guess, Dave, we are just kind of stuck watching these markets too, right? And a lot of people do talk about, oh, this is a takeover target, and that's why I'm getting in here for that takeover premium. Problem is, we haven't seen many takeovers, and the premiums that we've seen have actually been pretty disappointed for those longer-term shareholders. And that's one thing we do need to understand here is that you look at something like GDX, even with the bounce today, it's really just taking it back to a level where GDX was trading right around that COVID crash. So all those investors that got in and rode that wave higher, and then if they didn't sell, rode it right back, they're still sitting in a bit of a loss position. How do you think that plays into the psychology of these metals investors that in the last about year and a half now have just been on a round trip ride right back to where they started?
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's the $64,000 question at this time of year in the junior sector during a correction. How much tax loss is already factored in? How much might be left even after this bounce? Okay, maybe you sold for tax loss before this bounce, and maybe you didn't. Maybe you were waiting for a bounce to sell for tax loss. So, I think the majority of the tax loss selling is over, we could still see more toward the end of the year. So you just have to keep an eye on these things and on their charts and watch them like a hawk. And don't go all in and try to bottom fish. If you're thinking about bottom fishing, buy a partial position, or take a look at something. If it's extreme oversold and it's extreme oversold with some big volume, that's a pretty good chance that's a capitulation move and the selling's done. So if you see something like that, then maybe you could take a larger position. But trying to bottom fish is really tricky this time of year, but this is the time of year to do it. And that's what we're here. That's what we're in the sector for. We're in the sector for 10 baggers. And this is the environment to buy in if you eventually want to cash out on a 10 bagger.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd say that we're not in this sector to always be bottom fishing, Dave, but it feels like we are quite regularly. It would be nice to get a more sustainable uptrend, and who knows, we could be starting that, but there is still a lot of work to do, and I really think we just need to get through the rest of this year and see what direction the medals can take then. But hey, still a number of months before we wrap this year up. So encouraging moves, at least on the back of yesterday's price action. Dave, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Have a great weekend.
Look forward to it. You too, Corey. Thanks a lot.